Thank you, Brother Tom. Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church, Secret Sunday School class. Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help with it, tell me. We'll get you one of these schedules. We gave out a couple of them last week. Who knows where our memory verse is? Our new memory verse. How about that? Psalm 73:24 is right. What's the first word? Thou. Let's see if we can add a little bit today. We're going to try to say together Psalm 73:24, Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Now, there's another similar verse somewhere that says that he'll guide us with his eye. But that's not what it says right here. Right here, it's talking about this, the counsel. Let's try that together. Psalm 73:24, Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Good. Again. Good. Again.
Psalm 73:24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel.
Good. Again.
Psalm 73:24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel.
Great. Again.
Psalm 73:24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel.
Good. One more time. Will he? I think he will. Thank you.
Not one word of God has changed. Every promise still remains. Just not history that we're reading. It's still living, it's still breathing. And in its pages, we hear God's voice. Not one time has it ever come back void. Not one word of God has changed. Every promise. Sin he won't forget. Not one word of God has changed. Every promise still remains. There he was, he is today. Not one word of God has changed. There's forgiveness in its message. There's a path to new direction. And for the brokenhearted, it restores. And the lost are found by its words. Not one word of God has changed. Yeah.
right. Go ahead. Yes.
Nobody likes sweet.
Yeah. That's correct.
Oh, I'm so glad he loves me. Yeah. He loves me. Yeah. He loves you too.
Get over it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Start practicing. Yeah. Well, Zach, how about praying for us? We've been in 2 Peter for a while. We're in chapter 3 now. And just read a few verses here, getting us kick started. 2 Peter chapter 3, this second epistle, so we know right off he wrote a first. There was a first. And this second epistle, that's a letter, by the way. This second letter, beloved, I now write unto you. In both, he's got two things he's going to tell us, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. We're going to remember something that ye may be mindful of the words. Now, we've already come through and tried to emphasize that. And the Lord's going to guide us with these words is what we're memorizing. And the words are important. Not just the thoughts, not just the ideas, but the words. He preserved the words. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Capital S and capital L. Knowing this first, yes. Go ahead. Go ahead. Full of the words. It's the words. I'm going to spend about a half hour trying to tell you about the words and I won't get done. And it's a fun job.
Yeah, it is.
I love trying, but I never get done.
Yeah.
It's the words. It's the words. The first 12 verses expose the scoffer. Like Sister Becky said, there's always been scoffers, always been enemies. And then the last few verses exhort the saints. Now let's just start there on that being mindful of the words again. We'll try to find a stopping place here. We won't read all 12 right now in the first half. It says that you may be mindful of the words. I'm finding more and more that the words, it's the words. I realized again this week that I have everything. There's nobody richer than I am. I'm not richer than you are, but there's nobody richer than I am. I realized it again this week. I've got everything. And I'll just go ahead and tell you when I got it. It was November the 16th, 1974. Oh, Jesus is to me my everything, and I bless the day he came. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. That takes in the Old Testament, the holy prophets, and the New Testament, the apostles.
Yes.
What's written down, preserved. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? This is the second thing that they scoff about here, the promise of his coming. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Then it says, for this they willingly are ignorant of. You know, many times we don't want to know the truth.
Right.
The truth does hurt. And many times we don't want to know. It says right here, for this they willingly are ignorant of.
Right.
Ignorant means you don't know. It doesn't mean you can't learn. Ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The same word. See, God spoke everything into existence. And that same word's holding everything together. It's holding these atoms together in this pulpit so it doesn't blow up. It's holding the atoms together in my body so I don't blow up. It's holding everything together. It's holding the oceans together so it doesn't break out into hydrogen and oxygen and we burn up yet. It's reserved for a later time when that's going to happen. His word's doing all that. And Peter's telling us the purpose here. He's stirring us up to remember. And these scoffers, what we've got here is the ridicule exposed. Knowing this first, that then in the last days there'll come scoffers. And then the rottenness exposed, walking after their own lust. Do you remember that? Do you remember what it was like not to be saved? Can you remember back before that? And then the ruining exposed. Where is the promise of his coming is what they say. And God wants man to prepare for his coming. The scoffers don't want that. God wants it. He wants me to prepare my heart. He wants me to prepare my mind and not be lazy and to remember the Word and to study the Word and to focus on Him so I'll be grounded in the Word. And if you're grounded in the Word, the scoffers can't trick you. You need to be grounded in the Word. Remember the Word. The scoffers will come in the last days. Now, am I going to attach myself to this world or to the next world? I need to make a decision. I need to decide which side I'm on. Scoffers walk after their own lusts. They want the right to keep and make all they can after their lusts. They want the right to enjoy all the pleasures they can. These are mockers and scoffers. They ridicule the return of Christ. They say it's been thousands of years. He hadn't come yet and he's not going to come. Well, he's still coming. He's still coming. They say things will continue like always. No, he's coming back. They're ignorant of the Word and they're ignorant of the world. The world is not self-created and we're not self-sufficient. We're not self-sufficient. We like to be. We like to think we are, but we didn't make ourselves. We didn't get our job. We didn't earn our living. He did it. Scripture declares that God created. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He's the creator. And what we've got is the creator dying for the created. The creator died for the creature, for the created. Scripture declares it. God doesn't want us to be ignorant that it's not going to last forever the way it is. He doesn't want us to be ignorant about the heaven and earth. He doesn't want us to be ignorant about it's going to destruct by fire by Him. He's going to do the fire. He's chosen fire. Once He chose water, but He's chose fire now. Matthew 24, 38 and 39. Scoffers. Ignorance. Matthew 24, 38 and 39. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not. They were ignorant. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. All flesh died. Hey, the flood really happened. The flood happened. I believe that before the evidence, but there's evidence. There's a lot of evidence. But the flood happened. And the Lord's coming back. He's still coming back. He's coming back. The Word of God keeps the sea in bounds. That it doesn't come up any farther than this. God said, you come this far and that's it. That's it. It's His Word that's holding everything together. A volcano reminds us that this thing's getting ready to burn up and can burn up at any time. And then this, in verse 7 there where we ended, this day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Perdition is an unusual word. We don't use it much. It means destruction. And destruction of ungodly men. It means, perdition means an entire loss or ruin. An entire loss or ruin. You find it in Matthew 7:13. Or a picture of it, rather, not the word. Matthew 7:13 says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." That's what we're talking about, destruction. An entire loss or ruin. "And many there be which go in thereat." But 14, hopefully, that's not everybody. But 14 says, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." I hope that's you this morning. I'll tell you how narrow it is. It's Jesus. That's how narrow it is. It's as narrow as this book right here. That's how narrow it is. Amen, Brother Rick. That is how narrow it is. Let's try John 17:12. We should find another use of the word here. John 17:12. "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name." This is the Lord's prayer, the Lord praying here. "Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition," the son of destruction, the son of entire loss and ruin, "that the scripture might be fulfilled." And then you find it again in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, talking about the Antichrist. It says, "Let no man deceive you." By the way, that's a good New Testament command right there. Don't get tricked. Don't get slicked. Remember, I'm a horse trader. You don't want to get slicked. If I get slicked in a horse trade, it's my fault. It's my fault. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." It's an entire loss or ruin. And it's not a loss of being. We are not annihilated in eternity or in hell. The lost are not annihilated into nothing, but it's a loss of well-being. It's not a loss of being. Perdition's not a loss of being. It's a loss of well-being. Perdition's what we're talking about. Let's go back to 2 Peter 3:8. Let's look at something here for just a second. "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." Look, he's only been gone 2 days. Okay? Hey, he's still coming. He's still coming back. He's still coming back. He doesn't look at time like we do. Verse 9 here, "The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish." He's remembering his promise, and he's revealing his patience by waiting.
Right.
So that at least one more will get in. Hopefully many more will get in. Is why he's waiting. His patience and his long-suffering and his self-control, God's, I'm talking about, is our only hope. Yeah. That he's patient with us. That he's long-suffering with Rick. That he's got self-control over Rick. He's waiting. He's being patient. Now, we've been through this a few times. You old heads will know. How far back can we go in history? I'm talking about human history. How long has man been here on the earth? Warm. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Let me say it this way. How far back can we go? What's the date here on the garden? You got it. What is the date?
6,000.
We We've been here 6,000 years is correct. Someone over in this section, what's the date in the garden? How about 4 B.C.? 4,000 B.C. 4,000 years before the cross, we're going to find the preacher's right, 2,000 on that side. The, as far as back as we can go is 4,000 B.C. They come up with a lot of numbers. They like to talk about 4 million and 4 billion because, see, evolution takes a lot of time. I mean, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot. All anyone can prove is back to 4,000 B.C. About every 2,000 years, something big happens. Come up here at about 2,000 B.C., and what happens right here? What was it? That's correct. The tower. The Tower of Babel. Man gets confused. Then we come up here, and what happens right here in the middle? Calvary, the cross, his story. The way you spell history is his story. It's right here in the middle, and everything centers around it. And then you go down here about 2,000 years, and what happens? Sunday school. We're in Sunday school right now. It's been 2 days, 2,000 years. It's just about time. It's just about time for him to come back. There's the 6 days the preacher's talking about. Man's been here 6,000 years. Day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day, and this thing's just about over. We've got one more Sabbath, one more Sunday, 1,000 years to go over here on this side. First, what's going to happen is the rapture. We're going to go up, and that's the judgment seat of Christ where Rick's going to hang his head. Going to be a reunion, a rapture, rewards, maybe. We'll get to cast him at his feet. During that 7 years up here on earth, all hell's going to break loose. It's going to be Jacob's trouble. It's another name for it. Simultaneously, these things going on simultaneously. Then, the first, the Lord came for his saints. Then in 7 years, he's going to come back with his saints for that thousand-year honeymoon we're talking about with Jesus. And then here's where it's going to be burned up. Here's where we step off into eternity after that, after the 7 days. 7 days. One's yet in the future, and the preacher's right. Six in the past. 6 days in the past. It's on your handout right there. It's on your handout. And a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. He's coming back. He's still coming. Acts said this same Jesus that left is coming back. It's not going to be a different one. It's going to be the same one. It's going to be the same one. It's going to be the same one that's coming back. Let's look at it in Matthew 24:44. One of my favorite Carl Johnson, the evangelist, would emphasize this verse here. He drilled it in my head, in my heart. And he said he'd ask people, are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord? And that, you're going to be asked that today. And here's what the book says. Matthew 24:44 says, therefore be ye also ready. If you're not ready, then get ready. Are you ready? If you're not ready, you need to get ready. It says right here, therefore be ye also ready. He's not throwing that out there to talk over. It's not a suggestion. It's another one of those New Testament commands. It says right here, therefore be ye also ready. Let me ask you this morning, are you ready? Are you ready? Well, if not, you need to get ready. He's coming back. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such hours ye think not the Son of Man cometh. It's just about time. It's just about time he's coming back. God doesn't measure time like we do. He's only been gone 2 days. It's only been 2 days since he left, and he's coming back. He's coming back. His long suffering, he wants many to repent. He wants us to repent. He wants no one to perish. He wants all to come to repentance toward God. Away from sin. When I repent, it should be away from sin, away from self, to God. It's a turning. My sin was taking me this way toward hell and the grave, my sin and myself. And I turned, November 16th, 1974, when I got everything, I turned from that to Christ for salvation, and I received him. When I received him, I got the whole farm. I got the the slave quarters, I got the hills, I got the timber on the hills, I got the coal under the hills, I got the tater in the hills, I got everything. I got the John Deere's, I got the big house and the little house, the barn, the granary, I got everything. When I got him, I got everything. I got everything. And there's no one richer than you either if you got the same thing. No more sorrows where we're headed. No more pains where we're headed. It's going to take a change of mind and a change of action. I turned. I made a turn. Now, he's coming back. The Bible says like a thief. And a thief doesn't tell you when he's going to break in your house. He doesn't call ahead of time and say, look, Thursday night I'm going to break in your house. He doesn't do that. The Lord's coming, and no man knows when, except when you think not. Except when you think not. I need to think about him. I need to watch for him. I need to stay up and wait and watch and listen and watch for him. I heard it today. I think noises. Are you listening? Are you listening? I must not be careless. I can't be caught off guard. All man's done is going to burn up. Now, right now, there's different days in the Bible. Brother Dennis had a message on this one time. But there's different days in the Bible. Right now is the day of man. 1 Corinthians 4:3. Man's having a heyday right now. He better, because it's just about over. 1 Corinthians 4:3, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. I got the wrong verse. 1 Corinthians 4. Anyway, today, this is man's day. We're having parties. We're having pride days. As long as I'm having my way, the Lord's not going to bother me. He's going to leave me alone. He's going to be silent while I'm having my day. But then there's a day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6:2. I hope I got this right. That's also today. We don't know we're going to be here tomorrow. For he saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Are you ready? Matthew said, be ready. Get ready. Be a good day to get ready. This will be a good time. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And then the next thing that happens, the day of Christ, like we just tried to illustrate, and that's when the church goes up. It'll coincide with the day of Jacob's trouble here on earth, the day of Christ in heaven. And then he comes back with his saints for the day of the Lord. It's talked about in the Old Testament about 20 times, in the New Testament 4 times. This is on your handout. It's the day when everything will be done to abase man and exalt the Lord. The day of the Lord, everything's going to be done to abase man and exalt the Lord. It's a day of wrath. It's a day of vengeance. It's after the millennium, going to coincide at the end of that seventh day. The end times Holocaust is described by 2 Peter. We'll read it here in a minute. It's amazing that he knew this, what was going to happen when those atoms explode. Like an atom bomb. Peter described it pretty good about 2,000 years ago. At the end of that, it's going to be the day of God. That God may be all in all is what it's going to be like, or what it will be. Let's look at that. I think we quit with 9. Let's start with 10. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. God's day. Let's look at it. We can see it again in 1 Thessalonians 5. We read chapter 4 a lot. 1 Thessalonians 5. Starting in verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. We're not going through that on earth. We're going up, we're going out. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Also, Colossians 1. I'm not going to read the whole thing like I like to. I'd like to read the whole chapter. Let's just look at 16 here. This is what we've been talking about. For by Him were all things created. Any questions on that part? That are in heaven, the heavens were created, the stars, sun, moon, star, that are in earth, visible and invisible, those atoms were created by Him. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things. And by Him, all things consist. He's holding everything together. And when He quits doing that, this whole thing's going to blow up. It's going to burn up. And he's being patient. He's being patient. Let's go back to 2 Peter 3. Verse 11 says, what manner of persons ought Brother Rick to be? Well, he ought to live holy, and he ought to live godly, because God's coming back. I need to look for the day of God. I need to earnestly watch for it. I need to look to heaven for a new heaven and a new earth. Verse 13 says that. 13, nevertheless, we according to His promise look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And verse 14, I need to be diligent and prepared. 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. Remember that? Steadily apply, steady application, constant effort. Why? That you may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. 15 and 16 says the Lord shrinks from the thought of returning. For He knows that when He returns, every single unbeliever is doomed. Therefore, He waits. He waits. Verse 15 and 16. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. See, I don't have anything in it. The law, in a word problem in math, is an equal sign. and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. He bought salvation. He paid for salvation. He is salvation. Rick didn't do anything. Let's read it again. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable, those scoffers at the beginning, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. They twist them. Rest is like you twist the water out of a rag. They twist it is what they do. In 17, believers must be aware of error. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Mark 13:5. We're going to watch for error. We're going to be grounded in the Word so we don't get tricked by scoffers. Mark 13:5. And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. Don't get slick. Don't get tricked. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Don't do it. Don't fall for it. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. We've been talking about those fables. Hebrews 3:12. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Don't do it. 2 Peter 3:18. Believers need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. That's 17 and 18 again. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge. Thank the Lord for FBI. I'm bumping into people here that's excited about learning this week. They're telling me stuff they learned this week. And I'm learning. It's what it says right here. But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. It's an exhortation for us to do right. It's to behave. It's for Brother Rick to behave. To behave. Be found in peace without spot and blameless. Diligent. Diligent. Steadily applying and consistent effort. To believe. I need to behave. I need to believe. The long suffering of Jesus is salvation. The patience of a saint is, I'm sorry, the persistence of a saint is married to the patience of a Savior. Let me say it again. I just found this the other day. The persistence of a saint is married to the patience of a Savior. And then this grace, we've got saving grace. There's sovereign grace. There's sustaining grace. And sacrificing grace. And sufficient grace. Sufficient to take care of the demons, the diseases, the death. There's grace. Abundant grace for spiritual, mental, physical, financial, circumstantial. Grace, grace. I think the song says, I love to tell how I got in, how I made it through. It's the goodness of God and His grace and His mercy. That's how we're going to make grace, growth, and glory. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down in Jesus' name.